We all set? Let's begin. Okay, tonight we start the first part of the shiur. We'll discuss the topic of harchakos, literally distances, separations. It's Roman numeral 2 on the packet. And again, though we had a general hakdama to the inyanim of taras mishpacha last week, we again need a slight hakdama, a slight introduction to this specific area of taras mishpacha, because out of all the different areas in this larger topic, this is the one that has been most under attack. This is the part of Hilchas Nida that is most looked upon by other sects of our faith with disdain and with a comical attitude, and that it's meaningless, and what are you doing it for? So we have to first get a little background and understand what Chazal were trying to do with the halachos that they put into place. And then again, we'll get to the nitty gritty of the halachos. Okay, that's regarding harchakos. So just a few general words about the topic of harchakos. The Aruch HaShulchan in source number 16, which again we're using the two packets from last week before we get onto the ones from this week. Aruch HaShulchan, one of the great gedolim of 100 years ago, writes that Nida is one of the arayos. We know there are many arayos. Many are, besides the immediate relatives, basically everybody else in the world is an erva to a person. Let's say besides mother, sister, daughter, grandmother, granddaughter, who a man is allowed to touch and hug, etc. But basically everybody else in the world, including his wife when she is a nida, is one of the arayos. And there are many halachos that apply to all the arayos. There's a concept of yichud, which is a very complicated set of halachos, which comes up all the time when it comes to babysitters, when it comes to even non-Jewish babysitters. You know, there's the concept, halachos of yichud apply. Again, hopefully sometime in the future we'll be able to discuss it. But the concept of yichud, concepts of negiya, not being allowed to touch somebody of the opposite sex. Other issues, histaklus, looking at certain areas of the on the body of the opposite sex. Nida is in that category as one of the arayos. But Nida has a separate halacha regarding one halacha specifically, different than all the other arayos in the Torah. And that is that as he starts us off, let's start at the beginning of the source number 16. Yadua shenidihi kachol ha'arayos. Nida is like one of all the arayos, which to translate means one of the illicit relationships that a man can have with a woman. Shekol ha'arayos hein bekares. All the arayos, all the illicit relationships, if a man and a woman are together, there's an isser of kares, spiritual cutting off. V'chei nida hi bekares. The nida also, chas v'shalom, a man is with his wife, bemazed knowingly when she is a nida, the punishment is kares. U'v'inyin ha'archaka mimena einene shave v'chol ha'arayos. But besides the punishment, Nida is unique and has different halachos than all of the arayos, than all the others. The major difference between Nida and all the other arayos is regarding the halacha of Yichud. As we know, a man is not allowed to be in seclusion with another woman if he is not married to her or immediately related to her, even if it's a first cousin, even if it's an aunt, even if it's, you know, there are halachos, and these halachos that apply. Every elevators are okay. We paskin. Elevator, you can open up at any moment, in any floor. No halachos in an elevator. But generally, that's why in our day and age, it's not so much a problem in the workplace, because, you know, because of all the legal issues, most offices, even if they're closed, they have these big windows, and you could see in. So there's no issues of yichud. But generally, there's an iser drabanan, mostly drabanan, of yichud, rabbinic decree, of having yichud, a man and a woman who he's not related to. The only exception to that halacha is a man and a woman after they are married, after they have been together the first time. If they haven't been together yet, let's say a woman becomes a nida right after the chuppah, before they're together, or let's say it's a chuppah nida, then the iser of yichud still exists. Chazal, though, felt that once a man and a woman have been together once, and let's say a man knows that in a week or two he'll be able to be with his wife again, they did not institute the Isra of Yichud in that case. And also, it's like impossible. They live together. They're in the same family. How can you say that how can you implement an Isra of Yichud when it comes to a man and his wife, Ishto Nida? So that's why that is the one halacha that's different when it comes to a Nida versus all the other arayos. But because this is the case, says the Aruch HaShulchan, because a man and woman, when she is in a state of Nidus, are allowed to be together in private with 10 locks on the door all by themselves. Because of that, Chazal had to institute an elaborate system of reminders in order to keep ourselves aware all the time to remember that she is a Nida. That is how we have to see all of the details that we're going to discuss in the world of Harchakos. Harchakos are an elaborate system of reminders in order to safeguard this situation. Because Chazal gave us the heter to be together privately, which we're not allowed to be together with any of the other Arayos, because they gave that heter, therefore there have to be more chumras in other areas in order to allow us to safeguard us in order to not to take advantage of this heter. So that is what the Aruch HaShulchan says in Surah 16. I just want to read his words in the second column now on line 9. L'chein neged zeh. Because this allowance of a husband and a wife to be together privately, even though she is a nida and she's as usher to him as he is usher to any of the other arayos, but because of this heter, mipnei al kapanim hu ima tadir, because they are always together, and it would be impossible for a husband and a wife to always have to separate during the time of nidus, hukhruchu chazal lasos haharchaka bedvarim she'efshar. Chazal implemented certain other halachos which create distance between the husband and the wife during this time of month. Dim lo kein, because without these halachos, Chazal in their infinite wisdom thought and assumed that without these yavim l'dei michshol, tragedy and tragic occurrences might happen without these halachos. So that is the background that we have to think about when it comes to harchakos. We shouldn't ever, which again, many people do, they pick on one little harchaka and they say, oh, what's going to happen with this little thing? So if I throw something to my husband, it's really going to make a difference? You know, that's such a sensual thing that's going to lead to something? The answer is, you can't pick one thing and say, oh, take it out of a hat. All harchakos, it's a package deal. We'll see what are the more chamer ones, what are the less chamer ones, where do we have some type of movement, and where there's a makam tzorich. But in general, harchakos have to be seen in this general framework, that it's an elaborate system of reminders that Chazal gave us, because we have the heter of Yichud, so that is why they had to implement these halachos. The Sefer HaChinuch in Source number 17, one of the great Rishonim, tells us that it is not in the power or authority of any one individual, man or woman, to say, I'm a very mature person, I can handle it, I don't need the harchakos, I can control myself, it's okay, I know myself, I won't go too far, I'm only going to do this, and it's okay, and I don't have to keep this specific halacha, says the Sefer HaChinuch. In this area of halacha, out of all the areas, in this area, when it comes to the relationship, the physical relationship of the husband and the wife, nobody has the power and the authority to say that. But it's Baruch Hu put into every man and woman a certain desire and a certain rut zone to have this physical connection. And Chazal, in their wisdom, said, this is the halacha. Nobody has that power and the authority to say, it's okay, I'm not going to be nichshol. I'm not going to slip up. These halachas don't apply to me. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, nobody is allowed to assume that. Again, he talks about how other stories from the Gemara where people did assume that, and they were nichshol, they tripped up. But that is what the Sefer HaChinuch says. On a more practical level, down to earth, Rabbi Forst expresses the idea in source number 18 that Harchakos also don't just safeguard the idea that husband and wife can't be together during this time period, but they also help create a certain magic when these harchakos dissipate in the second time of the month. Look what he says in Source 18. Modern society has cheapened and debased all forms of physical contact between the genders. As a result, they have lost any depth of meaning. A kiss is the extreme expression of love and cleaving. To kiss, the most private, the deepest way that a man and a woman could connect is through a kiss. It is used in Tanakh and by Chazal as a description of the boundless love of Hashem to His people. And we just learned in these parashas, right? The Avos and the Imos, they died b'neshika. They died with a kiss of Hashem. What does that mean? It means that they were so connected, they just got so connected to Hashem that they just went up to Shamayim. They went up to heaven. Somebody's mace b'neshika. What does that mean? They just got so connected to God. And their neshama just left. So that's the beauty of Misa. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah says, I want to die like Aaron did. Because Aaron died like that, I want to die like that. So a kiss symbolizes that between a husband and a wife. So says Rabbi Forrest on line 5, today it has been cheapened and rendered a meaningless hollow shell. And all over, you see pictures, you see people in the street, you see walk down any street in any neighborhood, see people kissing. People hug and kiss as a form of greeting, devoid of any feeling. The harchakos pertaining to touching and handing to one another should give us reason to step back and reflect. The physical contact between a man and a woman is something electric. It's something that is preserved only for our most dear and precious. That first time that we pass something to our spouse after coming back from the mikvah, there's something there. All I did was pass with the salt. That's all I did. It's not something so exciting. But we feel something. Oh, I haven't done this in 2 weeks. It's special. It's special. Even a finger touch. That's what Chazal are telling us. Without these halachos, we wouldn't appreciate it. We would think, oh, a kiss. Even a kiss we can't appreciate anymore. But with this attitude and with this break for a couple weeks a month, and then we have it again, we realize and appreciate every little physical touch between a husband and a wife. Unrestrained by halacha, it could lead to mara looseness. A man does not even shake a woman's hand as a form of greeting. Hopefully, Ezra, in the future, we'll be able to share on the halachos of negia. There are hatshuvas written about what do you do in the workplace if a woman sticks out her hand. If a woman's your boss, I mean, what do you do? The feel of a woman's hand to a man can start a mental process which may lead to improper thoughts and feelings. That's in an extreme case. If it is difficult for us to perceive it as such, or if others look upon it as far-fetched, it's because we have become desensitized through our exposure to modern culture. Nowadays, a handshake, you're just shaking her hand. But Chazal view it, a handshake, a man touching a woman's hand, is beautiful. But it's special and it's private and it's unique. It shouldn't be something that's so common. Modern society, with its permissive attitude, is paying a terrible price. People are unable to maintain meaningful, long-lasting relationships. Halacha teaches us the potency of such physical contact, even a little contact. To man and wife, because of their intimate relationship, even a suggestion of physical contact may arouse a longing for physical intimacy. This is the reason that they may not even hand an object to one another while she is in need of, which we'll get to the halachas in a minute. But again, I just examples. We'll talk about, in a minute, slip-ups. Nobody's perfect. Sometimes we slip up. Sometimes we hand something. Sometimes we touch something. There's something in that touch. And we made a mistake. We make a mistake, and nobody's perfect. We'll talk about how to handle mistakes. But why do we feel something so special when we have that mistake? Because Chazal is teaching us, even this is special, and it's supposed to be special. That's what achakos are. Rabbi Forrest continues in source number 19, and again, we'll finish the Hagdam in 2 minutes, and that is that a man and a woman both have to appreciate that this time of the month is difficult for each other. A woman in her own way, and a man in his own way. The laws of our Chakos in source 19 do not require that they speak any less softly and act with less consideration. As we mentioned last week, all 4 weeks of the month, the relationship between the husband and the wife should grow and has to grow. We said, Reim ha'ahuvim. Half the month they're Reim, they're friends. And the other half they're ahuvim. But they're Reim also, they're friends the other part of the month. And there is no time of the month that the husband and the wife shouldn't be talking, shouldn't be expressing to each other. Rav Schechter has said, and a number of times I've heard him, that the chiv that a husband has for a wife is called ona. Ona, that's the chiv that in the Torah that the Gemara talks about, the Shulchan Aruch talks about, the obligations that a husband has to his wife related to the physical relationship. But Rav Schechter says the word ona means time. That's the translation of the word ona. Time. The obligation for a husband to a wife is time. Half the month, the time consists of physical activities. But the other half of the month, it's listening, it's an ear, it's support, it's just being there for one another. But the chiyuv of ona is constant. There are specific times of the month that it takes on different forms. But the chiyuv is the entire month. So back to Rabbi Forrest. On the contrary, on line 2, the laws of marriage, kavod habriyos, and simple ben adam l'chaveiro require that at this time he be particularly conscious of his wife's feelings and needs. The menstrual cycle affects a woman's mood, and she's particularly sensitive at this time to any hint that her husband's affection has diminished. Sometimes it works, it's counterintuitive. We think our chakos, we have to distance, so we don't tell our wife she looks good. We don't tell our wife anything. We don't speak to them as much, right? Because we try to distance ourselves. We go into a cave. The answer is, Chazal don't want us to do that. Yes, there are certain hachakos, but that's it. These are the hachakos, but a husband has to make sure that his wife's feelings, which are much more out of whack because of all the hormones and because of the menstrual cycle, he has to make sure that he takes care of her in this time of the month as well. At the end of line 8, at the same time, he must be scrupulously follow all the laws of hachakos, though he must be connected to her. but he has to make sure to follow those arachos. He may not cross the line and display any feelings of intimacy. Their talk should still be the fond talk of man and wife, not intimate talk, which we'll lead to, we'll talk about in a minute. Let's skip down to line 16. The same is true of the wife to the husband. A wife might also be aware that during the time of nidus, her husband is under strain. He is attracted to her by natural forces which have no outlet at this time. A man has a tremendous desire for the physical contact with his wife, and he has no outlet now for these 2 weeks. He may, although he shouldn't, be more prone to being irritable. She should not take this as a sign of less attachment or fondness, but rather as a manifestation of this frustration. She should therefore be careful not to dress or act in a manner that increases this tension. In addition, she must be aware that during her nidus, okay, etc., which we'll get to in a minute. So both the husband and the wife, it's more difficult, obviously. Like we said, it's a very challenging area of halacha. But the husband and the wife have to work together to try to make sure that the relationship does continue at this time of the month. And just before we start, as I mentioned before, there are always slip-ups. Always slip-ups. We forget something, we do something, and, you know, if somebody's around and our wives or our husbands, you know, pass us something and we're like staring at them and, whatever. So there's nothing to do. So obviously the harchakos are meant, they are halacha, but they are also meant to prevent larger slip-ups. So we all make mistakes sometimes, and nobody's perfect. So we shouldn't think, we all make mistakes. Yeah, we do the best that we can. Okay, and just one final point. As I mentioned before, the Shulchan Aruch is going to tell us certain harchakos. Rabbi Four says, another post can say, the Shulchan Aruch should be the minimum and the maximum. There shouldn't be any extra chumras. I'm going to be extra machmir when it comes to harchakos. That's not what Chazal had in mind. The Shulchan Aruch here is, a lot of times you should be machmir in certain cases, a lot of times you should be mekel in certain cases. When it comes to the halachas of harchakos, the Shulchan Aruch is the minimum and the Shulchan Aruch is the maximum. What the Shulchan Aruch says, and that's it. Okay, so now let's get into the nitty-gritty discussion of harchakos. Okay, well, there'll be, I think, four sections in harchakos. Number one will be certain general issues. Number two will be discussions of touching and handing. Number three will be dining room. Number four will be bedroom. And number five will be two or three more other miscellaneous issues in harchakos. Okay, so that's the structure for harchakos. Okay, so if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, let's just read this together. If you have the Shulchan Aruch packet page, it says page 11 on top. Page 11 on top. Simen Kuf Tzadikei, towards the bottom of the page. Sif Aleph. This is the Simen of Harchakos in Hilchas Nida. Simen Kuf Tzadikei. The Shulchan Aruch packet. Page 11 on the bottom. Shulchan Aruch says, Chayiv Adam Lifrosh Me Ishto Be Me Tumasa. See where I am? Like five lines from the bottom of the page in the bold type. If you don't have it, you can just listen and I'll say it, or ask your friend. A man is obligated to separate from his wife while she is a nida until she counts 7 days, which hopefully we'll get to tonight, and she goes to the mikvah. Meaning, even if somebody counts Zayin Nikiyim, a husband and a wife have to continuously practice our chakos until she goes to the mikvah. We'll talk about things later. Certain things they have to Zayin Nikiyim, as we said, maybe change the underwear, maybe do other things. But her chakos exists until she goes to the mikvah. That's what the Rama says. Vafilu shasa zman arach v'lo tabla. Even if a long time went by and she did not go to the mikvah, tamidhi binidasa acha titzbol. The harchakos continue until she goes to the mikvah. Says the Shulchan Aruch. This is number one. V'lo yitzchok v'lo yekal rosh ima. Afilu bidvarim. Literally, it means he shouldn't play around and have kalas rosh, have lightheadedness, a husband with his wife during this time of the month. Afilu bidvarim, even just with words, sheme yargil la'avera. Maybe that will lead to something deeper. The translation that I've seen some people use, sensual frivolity. Meaning being frivolous, being like playing around in a sensual kind of way. This is the one harchaka that is somewhat subjective. Other harchakos we're going to talk about, you're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this, you're allowed to do this. This kind of depends on the relationship between the husband and the wife. Most poskim say, ruba de ruba of the poskim, there's no problem playing board games, playing Scrabble, doing other things, schmoozing, you know, watching a kosher TV show, you know, generally, you know, normal things that husbands and wife do. You know, I think in our world, in our society, you know, those are things that are accepted, and that's not specifically sensual. But anything more than that, and this depends on the relationship between the husband and the wife, anything that is specifically connected to or leads to or is always done associated with, you know, the sexual side of the relationship, that is what shouldn't be done during the Zman Nidus. Again, saying I love you to each other, you know, we say I love you before we're married, when we're engaged, and there's no physical relationship then. So again, in other circles of the Jewish people, that's not done. So saying I love you would be a more frivolous act that would be inappropriate. So again, it depends on the relationship. You know, some people here might not have said it. I don't know. I'm just saying that we all come from different backgrounds, but this is the one subjective harchaka, and every husband and wife have to figure out, and they know kind of what's beyond and what's kind of too much lightheadedness in terms of this time of the month. Okay, so this is number one, the issue of schok v'chalas rosh. You know, you can't say this is mutter, this is usser. Again, if a husband and a wife, you know, if they're in a certain sect of Yadus, of the firm Jews, that they never play a game together, and then all of a sudden they play a game, so maybe that would be a problem because they never do this. But again, in general, it's something for a husband and a wife to discuss amongst themselves. Okay, that's Sif Aleph. If you look at Sif Beis on the bottom, just continuing, the last bold type line, right there where we are. Actually, I didn't want to do that one yet. That's Negiah. Where's the one I wanted to do? Turning two pages to page 13. Important halacha now. Turning two pages to 13. If you look in the middle of the bold type, Sif Zayin, Histaklus, looking. Lo yistakel afilu ba'akeva, v'lo b'makomos hamachusim sheba. Says the Shulchan Aruch, a man is not allowed to be mistakel. We'll talk about how to translate that in a minute. He's not to be mistakel at the covered places of his wife during this time. So the question is, what is covered places mean? And what does, and let's just read the Ramah, Aval mutter lehistakel ba b'makomos hagaluyim, but he can be mistakel at the revealed places. Afal pi shenehene b'ri'iyasa, even though he derives pleasure from looking at them. Again, this is another difference between any other woman. A man is not, if he's not married to the woman, he's not allowed to look at a woman's pinky if he gets pleasure from it, if it's not his wife. But that does not apply to a wife who's a nida. He's allowed to look at the revealed places. So what is covered and what is revealed mean? And what does histaklus mean? Let's define those. So histaklus, that verb, is somewhat more than looking, but less than staring, if we would translate it. You know, there's a passing look. You know, we live in our society, we see billboards on buses, so you see certain things. Okay, you have to walk with your eyes open. But that's, you're not supposed to stare at the billboards. Staring is the other extreme. Staring is concentrated looking. Looking, glancing. Glancing, that's an even better translation. Glancing, I would say, is the lowest level. Glancing is one idea. Staring is the other extreme. Histaklus, looking, is somewhere in the middle. Meaning, okay, so I think the, I don't think a, that's histaklus. Let's sum it up in a minute. But how do you define the covered places and the uncovered places? So Rav Moshe has a very important tshuva regarding this. On the Makoro sheet, on the other back of the other sheet in source number 20, which is kind of covered by the staple, Rav Moshe says, whatever is normally covered by the woman when she hangs out at home, that's considered a covered place. If it's uncovered when she's home, so then the husband is no problem. Meaning, let's say a woman, when she's out of the house, she covers her hair and she wears long skirts and she does this and she does that. But when she's home, she has her hair uncovered. Sometimes she'll put on sweatpants or even a pair of shorts. Let's say she'll put on a t-shirt. Whatever it is, she'll have more things uncovered, more parts of her body uncovered at home when it's just her and her husband. So says Rav Moshe, anything that's uncovered at home normally, between her and her husband, that's mutter for the husband to even gaze at at the time that she is a nida, even stare at. That's what the Ramah, that's included in what the Ramah says in Makomos HaGaluyim. What is usher for the husband to be mistakel at, to even this middle type of looking at, and that is the covered parts, the parts of a woman's body which is covered when she's walking around the house. So that is what the halacha is about histaklus. And again, this means, to translate, a woman does not have to, you know, think if she's getting undressed, let's say to go into a shower or changing or something, I don't think she can't do it when the husband's not there, or the husband has to leave the room. But when the husband shouldn't be staring at the wife when she is changing at that time of the month. And also, if it's a quick, it's not going to be a histakos. So again, but when we have to use our heads in this regard. A man even more so has to use this. But the rule, which I think is Rav Moshe puts into the Ramah, and that is, it depends what is normally covered when the husband and the wife are at home together. Okay, so that is the issue of his tacos. Okay, so that is just one interesting tshuva. Again, it doesn't come up so much. Once in a while, it might come up. The Noda Yehuda, I didn't give it to you, but the Noda Yehuda, one of the great gedolim a couple hundred years ago, has a tshuva. Let's say the woman is in a place where there's no mikvah lady. She has to go to the mikvah. So he has a tshuva where he allows the husband to be the mikvah lady, be the mikvah man. In a certain case, if this is what is needed, even though he's not allowed to look at her, he's not allowed to see, but the Noda Yehuda says, in this type of case where in an hour from now she's going to be tahora, she's going to be muteres, so Chazal assumed that he's going to control himself, and in this type of circumstance where she needs somebody to watch, so that would be mutter. Again, it might come up in some type of case. Okay, so that's one case where histakos would be allowed. But in general, it's not. Next area of harkotos, and that is regarding negiya v'hoshata, touching and handing. Let's talk about this, all the related topics to touching and handing. So just background. As we said earlier at the beginning of the shiur, for a husband and a wife to be together, with a nida, that's an iser karis. That this is a raisa with the punishment of karis. That's the most chamor. Number one. Number two, what about a hug and a kiss? A hug and a kiss with ishto nida, or with any of the arayos? That is a machlokes, whether it's an iser d'oraisa or an iser d'rabanan. A biblical violation or a rabbinic violation. The Rambam, in source number 21, if you want to look at it, holds, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch holds, to hug and kiss or to touch in any affectionate way one of the arayos, which is something that in many of our families and our circles in our society, it's not held. For me to give a hug to my first cousin is an iser d'oraisa, according to the Rambam. Because if she is one of the arayos, as long as she's of age and I'm of age, it's one of the arayos, and chibuk v'nishuk, any type of affectionate touching of any of the arayos is an iser to arayos according to the Rambam. Forget, there's no bia. We're not talking about a ma'isa bia here. We're talking about any affectionate touching. If holding hands is an affectionate touch, that's also included in the iser. Shaking hands is different, but holding hands, why do a boy and a girl walk down the street and hold hands? That itself is an affectionate touch. So that is an iser d'oraisa according to the Rambam. The Ramban says it's an iser d'rabanan. Okay, it's still an iser d'rabanan. I once heard, years ago, one of my rabbeim said he once gave a shiur to high school students about the iser of negiya. He didn't want to come in and say, okay, we're going to talk about negiya. So he comes in and says, how many people here eat cheeseburgers? That was his question. So of course, obviously, he's like, what is he talking about? So cheeseburgers. He said, okay, he says, how many people here chicken cheeseburgers? Chicken cheeseburgers. Okay, what is this? He doesn't know what's going on. He says, why is he asking us? Obviously, nobody raises their hands. So he says, a cheeseburger with meat is an iser d'oraisa, but a cheeseburger with chicken is only an iser d'rabanan. So nobody here does d'rabanans either. All right? So he says, okay, let me talk to you about negiya. Says, everybody says, hey, it's only the Rambam that says it's an iser d'oraisa, it's a biblical violation to have affectionate touching with an erva. Aye, what about the Ramban? It's only a d'rabanan. He says, anybody here eat chicken cheeseburgers? And that was his introduction into the discussion. But anyway, so that's what we paskin. Any type of affectionate touching is also aser, whether it's d'oraisa, whether it's d'rabanan, doesn't matter. That's the halacha background. When it comes now to hilchos nida, says the Shulchan Aruch, any type of negiya, the rabbanan asered between a husband and a wife, even not affectionate, even just in a small way, that is the iser d'rabanan when it comes to the harkaka of a man and his wife. So that is what the Shulchan Aruch says. You don't have to look at it inside, but if you wanted to, it's back on page 11. Back on the bottom of page 11 in the Shulchan Aruch packet. The Shulchan Aruch says six words. Lo yigaba afilu be'etzba ketana. It's an iser d'rabanan, even if it's not affectionate. A husband and a wife, when she is a nida, are not allowed to touch each other. Zero physical contact. That is the halacha of negiya. That's step one. Now we get to step two. The Shulchan Aruch continues and says, "V'lo yoshit miyada liyada shum davar." I'm on the bottom of page 11 now. If you're looking inside, the bottom, the last bold printed line. I turned back two pages in the Shulchan Aruch packet. Hoshata, handing, not only was touching included in the Gzeira, part of the Yisod Rabbanan, and as an extension of it, is that a man is not allowed to hand his wife anything, even if he doesn't touch her, and even if she doesn't touch him. There is no hoshata miyad liyad. There is no handing from one to the other. This is based on a minhag of Rashi. If you think about this minhag that the Bnei Yisrael have been doing, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, is 1,000 years old. If anybody from the 1900s, from any type of movement, say, "Oh, what's this? I'm gonna hand." 1,000 years, the Jewish men and women have been practicing this, and we're not about to change it. This is the halacha. There's an isra of hoshata. Most understands this halacha as a siyag, as a fence from touching, because it's very possible and probable that if we hand stuff to each other all the time, we're going to come to touch. Most of the time, when you hand something, when you get change in the supermarket, when you get anything, when you hand something to somebody, your fingers touch, your palm touches a little bit. So the pashtus of the simple interpretation of this extension of not only touching but handing is that it is a gzeira, it is a siyag, a fence that, you know, we say this is aser because you might come to touch. There is, though, another understanding of behind this iser of hoshata, of handing one to the other. It's also a nice hashkafic idea. Well, if you look in source 23, back on the Makaros page, in the darkened, the sheet that I copied this from was orange, so that's why it came out dark. The Sheet of Mekubetzes is one that gathers the work of the Rishonim. In source 23 says, maybe handing from one to the other is not usur because, you know, you might come to touch. But maybe when we hand something to each other, that itself is a connection. That itself is a chibur. We're connected at that moment. And Chazal didn't want that connection between the husband and the wife at this time of the month. We're not worried so much. Even if you're going to tell me, you know, it's not about touching. But we don't want the connection between the husband and the wife, separate from the worry that they will touch. That's the second reason why they might have answered this. And if this is the reason, we understand the next step, which I'm about to say, and that is a husband and a wife aren't supposed to even pass something that's very long. Let's say we have a big pipe. For whatever reason, we're passing one to the other. So that is also, hoshata is usur, even if it's not a small item. Even if it's a big item that one will not come to touch each other, that is also usur. Even a derech aruch, even something that's davar aruch, something that's long. There is a major discussion, it's quoted here in the Pesachei Tshuva and others, and that is passing babies and passing young children. So if you look in the Pesachei Tshuva, if you look in certain achronim, they say also, and you see many people, which is definitely a shita, they say babies are no different than anything else. You gotta take the baby from the car seat, put it on top of the car, and then, you know, you see all different things. Rabbi Willig, who's my rebbe in Hilchas Nida, has a kula here. And again, if Yishmi Amalismuk, if somebody wants to rely on this, and that is when it comes to little, but you have the heter basically the whole time. When it comes to little babies, they're considered cholim. They're considered in danger. He says, I've seen people put them on top of the cars, put them this and that. He says, well, that's a kind of sufficious. You know, that a car comes in the wind and they go for the pocketbook. He says, he's seen crazy things. He says, he thinks you can pass babies as long as one is very, very careful not to touch each other. He has that heter. So again, especially when a baby is very small, you got to be careful because the neck is very weak sometimes. The head's flopping all over the place. But again, if somebody makes sure that, especially if you put it on the bed, the baby's going to, I mean, there are certain serious sakana issues here. So according to Rabbi Willig, he thinks there's a heter to pass babies if one is very, very careful. If one can't be careful in a certain case, let's say the baby is so young and they think that they're going to have to touch, then there's no heter. Then you have to put him on the bed and just do something in a safe way. But let's say the baby is a little bigger and one can touch the feet and one can touch the upper part of the body, then Rabbi Willig thinks that there is a heter. Again, I'm saying this is not agreed upon by all poskim. There are many poskim that hold this usur. But I'm just saying there is makom lahakel in this case to pass certain babies. There are other poskim that say, like, once the baby gets a little older, I'm sure many of you have heard this, that if the child goes himself, like lunges himself to the other person, that's also mutter, because that's not passing. The child's going himself, he's not going to touch. That's also a heter that one could rely upon. So once the baby's too small to do that, they usually have the sakana heter, and once the baby's old enough, then they go themselves. But again, this is something that, again, I'm saying not everybody agrees with, but Rabbi Willig holds of this heter. Yeah. It depends. I think Rabbi Willig would say just pass it if you're sure that you could do it without touching. Which again, there is no hetzer. I'll say it clear. There is no hetzer. And if you try it once and it doesn't work, then you can't do it again for a while because you got to be very, very careful because you can't violate the isser of negia for this. But the isser of hoshata, Rabbi Willig thinks that isser drabanan was never nechlal when it comes to certain babies. At least what he has seen in his day, what people do. So he thinks the greater good is to pass the baby very carefully. That is, so far, we spoke about negia, touching, we spoke about hoshata, passing. Next, zrika. The Ramah also says, sometimes it comes up, the Ramah thinks zrika, throwing, is also usur. Sometimes we toss keys to each other. The Ramah thinks that's also a problem. That's something that shouldn't be done. There's a machlokas aposkim, what about if you do it with an arch? And if you throw it up and it comes down, you know, so it's serious. That's not a direct throw. And we should probably be machmer in this case too, it seems. There are two different opinions in the Achronim, but the Aruch HaShulchan and Rabbi Willig also, I asked him, he thinks that, okay, you want to pass the baby, you can't throw with an arch. Okay, that's how it's, I think it works out for our benefit. So that is Zrika. Another important connected halacha. Jointly holding something. Achizas shnehem biyachad, jointly holding something or pushing something together. This is again a halacha that's agreed upon by almost all of the poskim that a husband and a wife should not hold or push something jointly or together. Rav Moshe has a shuva in source 24, which we won't read inside. It's the bottom of the page of the Makaros. He says even if it's a heavy load, let's say a husband and a wife, we have company for Shabbat, so you move the table out, and you put the leaves in, you move the table back in, you do all these things that should not be done by a husband and a wife when she is anita, or you have to move the table, you have to move a couch, move even a heavy load. Says Rav Moshe, that is also included in the connection of Hoshata, passing something, included in that is jointly moving something. That's what the Chai Adam says, and others say. Again, this means also pushing a baby stroller together. You know, if it's a double stroller, you know, so even though it's easier sometimes to have two people push, one shouldn't, included in this, seems to be that the husband and wife shouldn't be jointly pushing something or holding something. There is, just one, let me just finish up this section, I'll take the question. There is a heter that Rav Avadya Yosef has. It's quoted by other poskim as well. It's discussed, and that is, I don't think I gave it to you in the Makoros. Sometimes it's more common in Israel where buses are, we take buses, all over the place. So he talks about the case where the husband and the wife are getting off the bus with the stroller. So like usually somebody takes the top of the stroller, somebody takes the bottom of the stroller, you get off the bus. So for 2 weeks, what am I supposed to do? The husband's standing there, good for nothing, he's not doing anything. Okay, you can do it, honey. Right, so the husband, either way, so it's very difficult. So Rav Avadya Yosef has a heter there that even though the husband is holding one side and the wife is on the other side, he said he allows, in that case, getting off the bus to b'makom tzorech, if there's no other way to do it, he allows there for and the Eliezer holds of this, discusses it. I'm not sure what his maskana is, but this is the heter of Avadya Yosef if somebody is in a circumstance like that. There was a hand up. Any question? Yeah. Yeah. Paul Pastor, we're gonna get to. Right, so we're going to get to it, but it's not really any... we'll get to one harchaka, which makes a difference if you're in public or not. There are other people there. But generally, this is that's the one. Hoshata is the harchaka, which is the most difficult, because people know. But as opposed to what we're going to see, you know, everybody goes through these 2 weeks. And nobody... The mikveh night, obviously, is kept most private. And so people know at this time of the month, these 2 weeks... But again, we have to try, the husband and wife have to be sensitive to each other to try to do it in a way as much as possible to try to hide and to keep it as private as possible. But now that we're all in the Shia, we'll all understand when we have each other over, but it is difficult. And it is, we'll see the words of Rav Moshe in a minute about that specific topic, which we'll get to in source, I'm not sure, in the last source, in source 34, we'll get to your issue, Elisa. Okay, two or three other related issues before we get to the next section of the dining room. The Badei HaShulchan in source number 25 says, he talks about, not next page, talks about, like we just said, they should be careful not to push a baby carriage together. He also has an interesting case, which comes up. If you look at the second to last skinny line in source 25 at the end, He says, "V'chein ha'tinok she'enu yachol leilech me'atzmo lo yachziku biyadav mizeh echad u'mizeh echad l'dadoso." We can't do we, right? When the husband holds one hand and the wife holds the other hand, and you take 1, 2, 3, we, and you go and you pick up the baby, because that's also holding a child together, and that is included. Again, we don't think about it, but this is something that's included, and that's why he said it shouldn't be done. But he says, "V'chein yachol yachol leilech me'atzmo." If it's an older child that really could walk by themselves, so when you do we, it's not really holding them. They're basically walking and they're basically jumping. So that's why if it's usually you don't do it there when they're too old, they don't think it's cool to do that. So but again, when the baby's when it's young enough, so then that would be included in the gzera. Again, but if the child is on the floor, so really you're basically supporting the child with your husband. So if that's the case, so that would be a problem. That would be included in the walking, if the child is walking by himself, it wouldn't be a problem. No, I'm saying, but you have, right, according to that svar, you still have the connection, I understand the question, but I think he's considered a separate entity, because you're not really supporting him, he's walking by himself. He's considered a separate entity, so that's why it would be, it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, all right, so I gave it to you. It is in Source 26, it has the, that's the Ravad Yosef, where he has the tshuva about the stroller getting off of the bus. Okay, two or three, again, now we're up to two or three related points still to the Negi and Hoshata, and then we'll get to the next section. Source 27, the Badi HaShulchan says, discusses, does he have it here? I'm not sure if this is the, he has it. In the last line of Source 27, the Badi HaShulchan says that a husband is not allowed to take something or put something into the woman's pocketbook when the pocketbook is on her body. That's what he paskins, meaning taking the keys out. Sometimes it comes up, because if it would be, let's say I have the keys and my wife is by the car and I have to give her the keys, and it's kind of like awkward. We thought, what am I do with the keys? I'll throw the key on the car. Okay, it's better than a baby. But again, what am I going to do? So if I could throw it into the pocketbook, or put it into the pocketbook, it would save me. So the Badi HaShulchan does not allow that. He does not allow a man to take it something out or put something into the pocketbook. Rabbi Willig is makel. Rabbi Willig is makel here again to put something in, take something out, making sure that there's no touching involved. And I know Rabbi Reisman, who I heard recently, he says that if you put two things together, then you could do it. We mentioned before throwing is generally we're machmir, throwing from one to the other. But he said throwing into a pocketbook, then he says that he doesn't think you have to be machmir that far. So he thinks if you want to toss into a pocketbook, even he thinks, Rabbi Reisman says, yesh lo hakel in that case, which is usually the case. Sometimes we don't go going so close, I don't know if it's such a good idea. But tossing the keys into the pocketbook or something like that, so that would be okay. Okay, and that comes up in a public place. A chevy, that comes up also often. I remember my father growing up, whenever he used to make Havdalah, he used to say Havdalah, and he used to hold the coast the whole time, and after Bari Bari Hey, she used to take the candle and make the rest of Havdalah himself, holding the candle. So Moshe has a shuvah, I guess, based on that idea. He says, what if one's minhag is to take the candle by Havdalah? So what if the wife is holding the candle? So you let her take the candle from him. So Moshe says, no. I mean, there's no difference between, you know, taking the candle or taking anything else from one's wife. So again, you know, the halacha of harchaka overrides the minog if somebody has that minog of taking the candle. Again, so for her to hold the candle, for me to put my fingers there and look at my fingernails, that's okay. There's no touch there, and he thinks that's not a problem. But to take a candle from her, he thinks that would be a problem. That's regular, an example of hoshata. There are two other things that I'll just mention, which, again, it depends on the circumstance, it depends on the specific case, and that is one umbrella for the husband and the wife, one of them holding the umbrella, both of them under the umbrella, or the post can discuss reading a book together, or reading a sefer together even. You know, those two cases. So post can some say yes, some say no. I gave you some of the cases. The Badi HaShulchan discusses it. He actually thinks it's mutter, I think, for one of them to hold the umbrella for the other one, and the post can discuss a book. I think every circumstance you have to figure out. Is this, you know, sometimes it's very hard to have an umbrella and not bump into each other. the person's on it, that's a huge umbrella, so then okay, but if somebody's a normal size umbrella, usually when we walk with somebody under an umbrella, it's very difficult not to touch each other. So again, if somebody does that, I'm not saying it's us, sir, but one has to do it in a certain way where there is no negiah between the husband and the wife. That's by an umbrella, and it's safer too. If you're sitting in separate chairs and you're looking in, so then maybe it's okay, because, you know, you're not going to come to touch. But if you're both on a, we're going to have to talk about a couch, because a couch is a separate issue, which we'll get to. But you're both, you know, looking at it together closely, so then it could be a problem. Okay, but that's just things and issues and cases to think about regarding this issue. Okay, so that's all related to Negiah and Hoshata. Next, the dining room. The dining room. Okay, 1, 2, 3... Five points in the dining room. Number one, the day in the Achronim, the Taz quotes this, we won't look at it inside, that the husband and the wife are not allowed to share a plate. They're not allowed to share a plate of food together. There must be a serving plate. If there's a serving plate and then I put it onto my plate, this is all halakhas in the Shulchan Aruch. I didn't really give you so many makaras on this. We're just going to do it more outside and try to cover some ground. So that's the halakha. Not allowed to share. Even separate from, you know, you go, even if we're sharing a bag of potato chips. First I'm going to stick my hand in, and then my wife's going to stick my hand in, and even if we're switching off, that's included in the Issur Rabbanan. The husband and the wife are not allowed to share a plate or a bag of chips or even where there's a basket of challah on the plate. I shouldn't take the challah directly. Let's say if my husband and the wife are home alone, shouldn't take the challah directly and keep taking it together and putting it into my mouth. I put it onto my plate first. So then it's okay, because that's from a serving plate to my plate, and then it can come to me. Suppose can say if there's another person sharing the plate also, then it's okay. But again, it's like, let's say if you're in the car and you're sharing a bag of chips and everybody thinks it's gone, there are a bunch of friends also, so then I think maybe yesh lahakel, because that's if you're into sharing chips. But that's the halacha. If there is something that by definition is like a sharing type of thing, the Shevet Alevi talks about, you have margarine, you have butter, and you stick a knife in and you take some, you put it on your bread, and then you put the knife back, somebody else takes it, he thinks that's not included in the Gzeira. That's not a problem, because that's by definition a serving dish, and you take some and then you put it back, so that's not included. But that's number one. Husband and wife are not allowed to share a ka'ara, a plate, together. Number one. Number two. The husband and the wife are not supposed to sit at the table in the normal, usual way that they sit together the rest of the month. So what does that mean? So the Shulchan Aruch says one needs a hecker. One needs some type of recognizable item which helps remind the husband and the wife to have distance. Again, especially Bizman Chazal, you know, the kitchen is a place where we eat together and we schmooze a little bit, we talk about our days, and specifically there, besides obviously the bedroom where we're going to have halachos, but the dining room also, the kitchen, you know, this is a place where people hang out and people, let go a little bit, so that's why there are specific halachos when it comes to the dining room. So besides sharing a plate together, which they're not allowed to, they can't even sit normally unless they have some type of recognizable item. What does that mean? So there are a couple of possibilities, a couple of choices. Let's say you never use placemats. So use placemats for 2 weeks of the month. If you have a separate placemat and you don't usually use placemats, that's a hecker. That's enough. You don't have to sit on the other side of the table. You can sit right next to each other. You've got to make sure not to touch, but if you don't use, you have separate placemats for that time of the month. Whatever it is, to help you remember. Well, number one choice. Number two choice. You know, this usually works better for people. If either they use placemats or they don't use placemats. But another thing that you're allowed to do is to have a certain item on the table, best in between the husband and the wife's plates, in order to remind them. Let's say there's a vase. You never have a vase, an empty vase. Stick a vase, put it on the table, say, hecker, right, this is it. Right? Usually, the postmen say, it cannot be something that you're eating from. You can't use the ketchup bottle as the hecker, because that's always on the table. And you're going to take it, you're going to use it. It has to be something that you're not using. Something that you're not using, and something that both the husband and the wife know is a hecker. So that is the halacha. Again, not usually there. It's large enough to be noticed, and it's best to be put in between. It could be a vase, it could be an empty bottle, etc. It could be even different places at the table if they don't usually sit there. If they sit at different places at the table where they're not usually sit, so then it's not a problem. This is the only harchaka. This one, I think, is the only harchaka which changes if people are around. If people are around, you don't need a hecker, according to most poskim. That means if a bunch of kids are there, if other guests are there, no hecker is needed. Chazal figured that in the dining room, you know, other people are there, this harchata is dismissed. Nobody's gonna do anything in front of other people. So that harchata of needing a hecker is does not apply when people are around. Okay, so that's number one, was the same plate. Number two was sitting at the same table in the normal way. Number three. Yeah, sure. How old does the kid have to be? I think it's the same requirement as by Hilchos Yichud. They say by Hilchos Yichud, how old does the child have to be? Old enough to know what's going on, but not old enough to have the desire for that area of life. So I think that's the usual. So, I mean, basically, 5, 6 already is a 3-year-old. I don't know if it would be good enough, but even 4, you know, he would know, you know, Abba and Ima. You know, they know what's going on, kind of, but, you know, they don't have that desire. Okay, number three in this area. The Shulchan Aruch says, he cannot drink her leftover drink. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. He is not allowed to eat her leftover drink. The Ramah here adds that the same applies to food. That he is not allowed to eat her shirayim, her leftover food, not just drinks. So this is one of the areas which might be different for Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. Again, the Shulchan Aruch only paskens it by drinks. The Ramah adds ochel. So again, I don't know what the minhag is, but that is a difference between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. But there are limitations to this halacha. When is it usur for the husband, for him to drink her leftover drink? Number one, if it's her plate. As I said, if it's a serving plate, this thing doesn't apply. I could take from the serving plate and put it onto my plate. She could take from the serving plate. It's not all her leftovers if it's not her plate, if it's a serving plate. So that doesn't apply, number one. Number two, if she took a couple of pieces of something, the post comes, unless she took 2 pieces of chicken cutlets, and she only ends up eating one. So if there's a whole piece of something on her plate, the post can say that's not called a leftover. That she didn't get to eat it. That's not called a leftover. And therefore, there wouldn't be a problem with a husband eating what's left on her plate. Because if it's a bunch of rice or a bunch of French fries, which is all one unit, then she ate some, so then he wouldn't be able to. But if it's a separate piece, it would be okay. There are those also, the Ramah says, that if it was moved, let's say it was on her plate, but then you switch plates, or it was in her cup and you switched the cup, something like that, so then the Ramah says again, it's mutter, as long as it's not her leftovers on her plate. Another heter which the Ramah quotes, and that is, let's say she ate, and she ate breakfast on the run, and she ran out, she ate supper, she had to go after what she ate. If she's not around, also mutter. The husband's allowed to eat, so if you're very into Baal Tashchis, just leave the house, you know, after you finish, and he'll be able to eat it. Yeah. Even if he was there, and also they just to add this, it's only usher if he knows it's hers. If he comes into the house and sees half a plate and he thinks his little brother ate from it, and then he says, "Oh, look what so and so left me," she doesn't have a chiyuv to tell him that it's her leftovers. If he doesn't know, part of the isser is that he knows that he is eating her leftovers. That was part of the that was the gzera. But if he doesn't know, she doesn't have to tell him, and he's allowed to eat it. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Okay. The opposite is that does not apply. She is allowed to eat any of his leftovers. The Chazal never goes there on that. It only goes in one direction. Fine. That's number three. And that is why, and we'll talk about Kosos in a minute, but we'll talk about, let's say, if she drinks some wine from Kiddush, then she is allowed to go and drink the rest of it. Because that's, she's drinking his leftovers. After she does that, then he can't drink more. So he has to drink as much as he wants before she drinks. But let's get to that right now. Yeah, we'll get to it right now. Number four. So again, we had number one was the same plate. Number two, sitting at the table. Number three, leftovers. Number four, the Shulchan Aruch says the man is not allowed to designate to specifically send a kos, a cup of a drink for her, even not a koshel bracha. Meaning even not the coast of Kiddush, even not Kosher Bracha, for sure we consider it more special. It's associated, connected to a mitzvah. But any type of special drink is not allowed to be sent to from a husband to a wife. That's a type of chibur, it's a type of connection. I'm sending my wife a drink. So Chazara goes there for one not to do that. So what do you do by Kiddush? Right, that's where it always comes up. So the poskim say the easiest thing to do, the husband drinks. Well, two things. Number one, the husband could drink, put it down in front of him. He didn't send her anything. She could come, take the kos, and drink. So that's A. Let's say they're alone. He can't send the kos and put it next to her plate. That's sending her a kos to drink. So number one, if you're alone, if the husband and the wife are alone, that's what they do. You're having guests. So then there's an even easier way. So you pour five different little cups on the tray, and you pass the whole tray. You didn't designate her anything. She can take any of the cups she wants. Right? The gzeira isn't to send her 10 cups. It's one specific cup. But if the husband pours out five different cups and then sends the tray and sends it around the table, then she could take one. But he didn't designate a cup for her specifically. So that is just two easy ways to get around this harchak. Okay, so again, the Bali HaShulchan also discusses even that included in this is for husbands not just to pass, but to pour drinks for their wives during this time of the month. Water, I mean, Ullah calls water is mutter. Water is okay. But all the drinks shouldn't be poured for each other. Even though they want to be chivalrous, they want to pour all the drinks for their wives, this time of the month, it should be more chivalrous to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the, and he says, you know, not to pour, not just wine, but to all drinks besides water. The Bali HaShulchan even notes the minhag of somebody else pouring your cup at the Seder, you know, pour your own cup. You know, we could be our own melech. You know, we have to think about the melech, malchei hamlachim. Think about the King of Kings, even at the Seder, that minhag of somebody pouring, but there's a halacha. Halacha says, the Shulchan Aruch says, the husband can't send or pour a drink for his wife during these weeks. So that is, so that minhag is null and void. Okay, and finally, number five, serving each other, basically just do it in a little different way. Meaning, if the husband or the wife bring a plate of food for the other one, don't put it down directly in front of them. Put it down a little to the side, put it down a little too far in front of them. Any unusual way of doing it would be fine. Okay, so that is all dining room / kitchen issues. Any questions on that? Yeah, please. Either way, I think, but not to put it directly in front of them. Meaning, put it somewhere else on the table, and then she'll be able to get it. Not this. Yeah, I think so. Okay. The bedroom. Harchakos of the bedroom. So the Shulchan Aruch says in, if you want to look it up, it's in the Kuftad the Kei Sivav. It's on page 13 of the packet. Language of the Shulchan Aruch in Sivav, the bold print on page 13. Lo yishan ima b'mita afilu kol echad v'bigdo ve'inogin ze bazeh. A husband and a wife are not allowed to sleep in the same bed, even if each of them, if both of them are clothed, even if they are not touching each other. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, not in one bed. And the Rama says, in Sifvav, v'afilu yish kol echad matzah b'pnei asmo. Even if each of them have their own mattress, still, it is usher for them to sleep when the mattresses are together. The afilum shofim bebeis mitos, amitos no go zubazu usher. Even two beds, and they say they're separate bed frames, and the frames are touching. So the Rama says, again, this is not an extra chumra of the Achronim. This is the Rama. Our whole life is based on the Rama. The Rama says that the beds have to be separated. Again, this is based on a very scary Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara tells a story. If you want to, I'm going to read it in source number 32, back on the Makaro sheet. Gemara tells a story of a woman who, actually a man, a Talmud Chacham, who died very young. Talmud Chacham died very young. Meis b'chatzi yamav. And his wife comes to the Beis Medrash with his tefillin and starts complaining. Says, the Torah, Rabbi Hashem says, right, we're going to have long life if you study the Torah. And look what happened to my husband. Come on, Olsan, look what happened. So they asked him, she comes to the Beis Medrash. Rebbeim, could you explain it to me? Could you explain why he died so young? And nobody can answer her. So says the Gemara, and this is Elio Anavi talking. I didn't give that background. Elio Anavi telling the story. So one time he was around the Beis Medrash, the end of line 6. Pamachas nisarachti etzla. So one time I was schmoozing with this woman. She was telling me everything about him. But and I said, Biti, bimeni dusech ma weslech. You know, what do you do during the time of Nidus? What do you do during those 2 weeks? So the woman answers proudly, Amra li chas v'sholom. I'm on line 9. Afilu be'etzba katana lo naga bibi yimei livunech. He never touched me. He never touched me at all. And then he says, what did he do? So he says, achal imi. He says, eat with me, v'shasa imi, v'yashan imi, b'kirib basar, v'lo also daito al davar acher. says, you just lay next to me. He says, you never touch me, you just lay next to me. Says Eliyahu HaNavi, that's the reason. It's a very scary story. It's, again, it's not, we don't understand it fully, but either way, it should ingrain in us that this is scary business when it comes to sleeping in the beds next to each other. That's what the halacha is based on. Tosfos there says this is the source for the halacha. So that is the halacha that can't be in the beds in one bed, even if it's separate beds that are touching. How much does it have to be separated? So again, there are different opinions. At least again, in as long as the, I think the most makel shita is, as long as the quilts are not touching. Again, some sects of Jews say that you need a thing with a lamp in the middle. Okay, that's a certain shita. Others have to be separate rooms, whatever it is. But I think in other circles, every group of Jews follows their own rabbi or rebbe. But here I think we could say that as long as Willick says and others, as long as the quilts go over the beds, as long as those quilts aren't touching, which is about 5 inches or so, 6 inches, you could still see each other. You know, it's only five, 6 inches, so then that's enough. As long as there's a separation when the quilts are hanging over, that's far enough. Okay, so that is regarding the beds. An extension of that halacha, I'll take the question in a minute. Extension of that halacha, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the previous sif, he is not allowed. Again, let's get it down straight because it's a little different. He and her, he is not allowed to sit on her bed the entire 2 weeks, even if she is not at home. He is not allowed to sit on her bed. Obvious reasons, being on her bed, he's thinking about the bed, her. So he is not allowed to sit on her bed the whole 2 weeks, even if she's not home. She cannot lie down on his bed when he is home. It's much more limited in that case. She is not allowed to lie down on his bed when he is home. Meaning she can lie down on his bed, she can take a nap in his bed if he's not home. But again, so that he has a lot of limits. Obviously, in general, the man has much more limits than the woman. Chazal knew human nature. So that he cannot even sit on her bed when she's not home. She cannot lie down on his bed only when he is home. And just the final halakha, then I'll take the question. And that is, the Shulchan Aruch talks about making beds. Used to be a Dvar Shel Chiba, an affectionate act. And I think to translate it into our society, we wouldn't say it as making beds, but getting the bed ready. Meaning, let's say, pulling out the sheets, folding it over. What's it called? Right, turnaround service? Turn down service. So that type of act, that would be the more affectionate. Meaning, getting his bed ready for him. Making beds, I don't think there's any issue. Whoever wants to make the beds can make the beds. That's a Dover Shel Torah. That's a bother. That's a chore. We wouldn't call that a nicety. We'd call that a chore. Anything that's a chore is not included. There's no problem of doing during this time of the month. But opening the beds, turning down the sheets, that's something that shouldn't be done by the husband or the wife during this time period. Yeah, question. Right. Right, that's tough. That's tough. So that's very right for the people who believe that it's not good for the baby to get used to sleeping in the bed with the mother. You know, so right after you nurse, you got to put the baby back in the crib, right? So Chazal maybe had that in mind too. But what could you do? I mean, you got to put a pillow down on the floor. You know, just I mean, that's. I mean, or you know, it has. I think it happened to us one time. One of the kids fell off. I mean, I don't know. Right? So I think I don't remember. What? Something. In between, right? But again, you gotta. Well, you have to have a guardrail. You have a guardrail, right? It's not just for little kids. But anyway, that's the halacha. You gotta have it. But again, this area that we're saying, like 5-6 inches, there is space, but they'll probably just get stuck, and you'll probably realize before. Again, I don't think there are any heterim because of that. Okay, let's finish up our chakos. 5 more minutes on our chakos. Yeah. Yeah. No, again, that's how far, like if the blankets, how far do they go when you're sleeping though? So they'll hang over the bed, like, well, if they're folded, like they could go pretty far when they're like off the bed. Let's say the whole blanket falls off of me during the night. when they're fluffy. I mean, so even, no, I'm saying it's true. I think enough space that when you're lying down in bed and, you know, that the blankets aren't touching. When you go to sleep at night, then yeah, you have the blanket on top of you. You know, if there's space there, it's, you know, you should be able to, you could talk to your husband. You know, it's only 5-6, what? Intercoms. Okay, very good. No, if you're not home, you can put the beds together. Like when you wake up in the morning, you don't want to, obviously, put the beds together. There's no chiyuv to publicize, right, to publicize it. Yeah. So if you have to get out of bed. Right. I don't know, when the kids come in, it doesn't usually work like, oh, well, same, you know, it doesn't usually, it's not so calm. But, okay, I don't know. Okay, so next. Fine, a few miscellaneous harchakos issues. We spoke about kalos rosh. What did we do so far? Kalos rosh, lightheadedness, histakos looking, dining room, and well, first negiah and hoshata, touching and handing, dining room, bedroom, and now two or three miscellaneous, and then we'll finish harchakos. The Rama says in Siman Kuf Tzad Kei, again, this is the Rama, not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch at all. The Rama quotes the halacha of the safsal hamisna nedes. And this is on the top of page 13 and the bottom of page 12. Bottom of page 12 really says it before. Bottom of page 12 in the Makoros packet, the Ramon, the little letters, the last three little where it says Haga and Tifhe, Asur Leishez al Safsal Aruch Shemisna Dedes. A husband and a wife, page 12 in the Rama in Tifhe. The Shulchan Aruch is the bold print, and the Rama is right under it. Va'asur. Haga, Va'asur. A husband and a wife are not allowed to sit on a bench together that vibrates, that moves. That movement can be felt when one person sits on the bench. They can feel the movement of the other person. So if generally a couch, if it's the kind of couch where if you sit, one person sits on the couch, the other person sitting on the couch could feel the movement and be affected by the movement. Rama says that is another harchaka, that that's a dvar shel kiruv. If you're moving me, right? If you're moving me and I'm sitting on the couch and I feel you, so that would be included in the Isser D'Rabbanan. The Rama quotes Safsal Mishna Dedes. Yeah, like one cushion, right? If it's separate cushions where each cushion is basically independent and one cushion doesn't feel, that would be mutter. And that's also on a hard park bench where there's no movement, then it's a problem. But if it's like a hammock, if it's a hammock swing, even if it's hard, but it moves every time you go on it, that would be a problem. Yeah? You have to know. You have to know. I mean, most couches, if it's a set... No, I'm saying, but if it's the type of couch that if a normal person sits down, it's going to move, like separate cushions, usually doesn't matter how much weight there is on one cushion, if they're separate cushions, they're not going to move. Usually, see, you can't, if you're, let's say, if there's a cushion in between, and you sit on the two cushions with a cushion in between, usually you don't feel it. You're right, if it's two cushions next to each other, one cushion probably touches the other cushion, and that's why you feel it more. But if it's, usually, also sitting next to each other on the couch, on separate cushions even, might not be such a good idea. Because you have to, again, the Isser of Negiah is always, you know, sitting, so usually if you have a cushion in between, that's always a better, put some pillows in between, some couch pillows. But that is the halacha. It's mutter, obvious. It's mutter, says the Shulchan Aruch, if somebody else sits in between you. Somebody else sits in between you. So this happens sometimes. Again, it's something that gets into the issue of publicizing. But let's say a couple's getting a ride home from a wedding. And, you know, they're getting a ride home, and there was supposed to be only four people in the car, and now there's going to be a fifth person in the car. And, you know, we're the ones in the back seat. So it's you know, what do you do? You gotta... So in that type of case, you know, you gotta stick something in between. Gotta that negiah is the more serious offense that we're talking about here. So you gotta make sure there's something in between. Obviously, to sit on opposite sides with somebody else in between, that's kind of probably better, more practical to find a way to put something in between you two to be in the back. Okay. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he allows. If there's like one long seat in a car, if there's no touching, if you're sitting on different parts of the bench, he has a heter. Why? I didn't say this at the beginning. The Rama himself says if something is mechubar, if something is attached to the ground, So then maybe Yesh Lo Hakel, there's no problem because it's considered attached to the ground that was ever included in the Gzeira. So Rav Moshe has an extension that maybe a car, the cushion is connected to the car, it's not an independent item. So he thinks even if you have to go on a trip together, so then even if you sit on one side of the car and you feel it on the other side, I think the new cars will have separate seats, but more of the older cars, they have one long cushion in the back seat, a lot of times one long cushion. He thinks one could be mako, and if somebody needs makam sarach, I think Yesh Lo Hakel if one needs that. One needs that heter. Three more points. Miscellaneous. Vacations. Again, best to plan accordingly, but you know, we're about to go out, you know, we could make all the plans we want, but sometimes Yad Hashem takes over. And, you know, let's say you plan something for 3 months in advance, and then 2 days before you start to go on vacation to Bermuda, boom. You know, it happens. You know, there's not much that we can do. If you can try to reschedule, try to, you know, the romantic type of vacations, you know, one should not take in these weeks. The romantic type of vacations. To go on a day trip with a husband and a wife together, on a regular day trip on a hike, which is not specifically romantic and private, it could be private. But if it's not a specific walk in the forest together, you know, Yesh Lo Hakel. Again, there's no black and white here. It's very gray. But again, one has to try to plan appropriately. It depends on the situation. It depends on the circumstance. Anything private, romantic, shouldn't be done. And that is even taking a Shabbos walk. There are poskim. Again, you read different poskim, you'll hear different things. You're not allowed to take a walk with your wife. Again, every circumstance is different. You got to know what type of walk it is. If you're taking a walk to spend some time with her, like we started this whole thing, if you want to spend some time with your wife, you want to take a walk with her Friday night, you have a guest over for Shabbos, wonderful, you take a walk with your wife, you know, great, so, you know, it's okay to take a walk. But again, you have to know if it's a type of trip which is romantic, which is meant, and we should take romantic trips with our spouses, you know, it shouldn't end after the first year. Every year we should make time. So again, that is something that should try at best to be planned at the certain times of the month, which means sometimes you might not be able to plan it until that month. You might not be able to plan it until 2 weeks before. But again, that's what halacha says. There's two more points, and I'll take the questions. Kol Isha is a machlokas aposkim when it comes to nida. Again, in general, a man is not allowed to hear a woman sing. Period. Any of the arayos, which is anybody except his mother, sister, daughter, grandmother, granddaughter, wife. But Nida is one of the Arayas. So let's say a woman wants to sing Smiros, you know, and by, when Ishto Nida, or, you know, most other, you know, any other Arayas, there's an Issa Darabanan, maybe a touch on Issa Daraisa. What about Ishto Nida? So the Pische Tshuva, one of the great Achronim, quotes different Deos, or by Willig is Mekel when it comes to Kalisha, or if Shechter is more Machmir. But again, that's something that comes up, and you could ask your local posik if it's a serious issue. Okay, that's Kalisha. Finally, the last point, just to note, a sick spouse, which comes up when a woman's went into labor, whole issue, when she becomes an Ida, not for now, a separate year, but let's say a sick spouse, there are certain kulas that we might extend to say certain harchakos don't apply. If a woman is sick in bed, the husband is allowed to make her stuff and bring her certain food items, or pour for her in those cases, so there are certain heterim in those cases, in those circumstances, but one should ask a Rav in that case. One final source when it comes to our chakos, and then of you, I'll take your question. That is, going back to the Makoro sheet, Rav Moshe was asked this question, exactly what Eliza asked before, and that is, source number 34, you know, I'm sitting there with a bunch of guests, and I'm not going to pass something, it's so embarrassing, which we've all been in that predicament. So Rav Moshe says, first of all, you have to remember, in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, the Gemara talks about that women used to wear white during Shiva Nikiyam. Not just white underwear. They used to wear white robes. So everybody, why they do that also? Because if you have a Kohen walking down the street, and, you know, you want or a Kohen, or a Basko. Anyway, there is this Tum and Tara were much more important in those days. Or if a woman is married to a Kohen, she's going to be eating Truma for supper, you know, and she wants to give her best friend a hug, you got to know whether she can give her friend a hug or not. She's going to become Tamea, boom, I can't cook supper. You know, it's serious business. If she becomes Tamea and somebody married to, it's serious business. So in those days, it wasn't even a Shiloh. You know, women walked around with white during Shiva Nikiyam. You know, it's not like things were so private then. So nowadays, basically, things are different, and obviously things are private, and they should be private. But says Rav Moshe, these are the halachos. Everybody knows that somebody is from, we're all keeping these halachos. The mikvah night should obviously, which Rav Moshe will talk about next week, the mikvah night should be kept private. But when it comes to these halachos, you know, it's we should be proud. We should be proud that we're keeping these halachos. And even though he says it shouldn't be a source of embarrassment, you know, because this is the halacha, and this is it's difficult sometimes, and I'm self-conscious somewhat, but the best thing to do is to be prepared. The best thing to do is to know these halachas, know what situations might come up, and know beforehand how I'm going to act in the situation. Like the Kiddush situation. There's easy answers, what to do by Kiddush. Pour all the cups, put the coast down, she'll take mine. Most cases, if we know that beforehand, sometimes things we don't think about. But most of the time, if we can think about the situations beforehand, so then, says Rav Moshe, we could help ourselves. But if not, if something comes up and I have to put something down, I have to put it down. But Rav Moshe says we should be proud, even though it is somewhat making us feel self-conscious. Okay, that takes us through Harchakos. We go another 15, 20 minutes? Or should we start? Should we take a vote? I could start, maybe try to start next time on time again, so I might... I take a vote. People have to go. It's getting late. What do you say? Who wants to? Looks like most people want to stop. No, looks like people are bleary eyed. Who wants to continue? Right. Who wants to continue? Most people. What? 15 minutes. 15 minutes. No. How about 10:15? 15 minutes. What? Start at 8 next time. How about 15 minutes now, 15 minutes then? Another 15 minutes now, and then we'll start at 8:15 next time? How's that? 10 minutes? 10 minutes? Okay. Everybody wants to go get a drink of water? Anybody want to? So, okay, just 10 minutes. Let's just start the... let's at least do the... So I'd rather not try to have a fourth week if we don't need, but let's at least start the Tahara process. The Tahara process. Again, it's just the 10 minutes. Let's give it our all, a little Mesiras Nefesh, and then we'll bring it home next week. Okay. The Tahara process. There are 5 steps, and now we're putting away the Makoros that we were just dealing with, and we go on to the 2 new ones from tonight. That's this other Shulchan Aruch packet that starts with page 15, and the other Makoros packet, which has the Imyan Hamtanas Heyamim on top. The Tahara process, the way a woman becomes Tahara to her husband requires 5 steps. 5 steps for a woman to become Tahara to her husband. Very very nice to look at it in this way. 5 steps. Number one, counting 5 days from the beginning of the latest flow. Or even just even before this. What have we discussed? Why am I doing this now? Just think about what we've discussed. We spoke about how a woman becomes a Nida. That was Ksamim, that was Riyah. Now we spoke about what do we do when a woman is a Nida. That's our Chakos. Now we're going on the upswing. We're saying, okay, how does she become Tahora? So there are 5 steps. Number one, counting 5 days from the beginning of the latest flow. Number two, Hefsik Tahara. An internal examination to determine that the bleeding has stopped. Hefsik Tahara. Number three, we'll talk about each one of these. Number three, Shiva Nikiyim, 7 clean days. Number four, Chafifa, preparations that she does before she goes to the mikvah. And number five, the Tvila itself, immersing in a mikvah. Those are the 5 steps in the process of becoming Tahora. So let's try to do the first one tonight, and then we'll do the other 4 next week. And we'll try to finish it next week. Counting the five days. For most women, counting 5 days before starting Shiva Nikiyim is not an issue. Because most women in the world bleed for at least 5 days. Meaning a woman gets her period on Sunday afternoon. Sunday is day one of the 5 days. Whenever the flow starts, that's day one. If she gets it Sunday night, then Monday is day one. But whatever it is, because in halacha, the night goes after the next day. Whatever day a woman sees, That is day one. We'll talk about, like we mentioned last week, I mentioned it again. If she stains first for a day or two, that staining can be day one. We'll talk about why that is. But the beginning of the flow is day one. So let's say Sunday the period starts. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday is day five. Most women bleed till for at least 5 days, at least even if it slows to a trickle. Most women will not be able to do a Hepsiktara before the sunset at the end of day five. So what we're about to talk about is why one has to wait, even when if one has less bleeding. You have to wait 5 days. But in most cases, this doesn't come up because most women bleed for 5 days anyway. Yeah. Yes, can. The ona we'll talk about next week is counted from the flow, but the first of the 5 days is staining. Where did these 5 days come from? Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Where did the 5 days come from? Okay, it's really 7 minutes and we'll be finished. Beli neder. So where did the 5 days come from? Mida oraisa. So this is the key. Mida oraisa. According to Torah law, a woman needs 7 clean days from blood, from uterine blood. That's the din d'oraisa. We spoke about last week. Azava, shiva nikiyim, 7 clean days from blood. That's the din d'oraisa. Midarabanan, though, the second step was that these clean days not only have to be clean from blood, but they have to be clean from blood or any residual seminal discharge. Any plata, anything that's coming out of her, whether it's dam, whether it's the shichva zera of her husband, the semen of her husband, the woman has to be clean from any discharge, any seminal discharge during shivinikiyim. That is what Chazal said. And Chazal also said that the zera, the seed of a man, has potency for 3 days. I mean, 72 hours. Because that is true, what the halacha is, you're not allowed to start Zayin Nikiyim right away. Obviously, let's say she bleeds for an hour. Halacha is not allowed to start Zayin Nikiyim right away, because Zayin Nikiyim, naki, clean, means not just clean from blood, but clean from any seminal discharge. Which means, let's say the husband and the wife were together 10 minutes before she became a Nida. So from that moment, for the next 72 hours, the woman is going to have Pleitas Shechva Zara. It's called discharge of the shichva zera of her husband from her body, and that discharge, even though it might continue for longer, halacha says that for 3 days it has potency in order to impregnate a woman. So the halacha of zera only applies for 3 days, 72 hours. Let's figure out what happens here. So let's say Sunday afternoon she gets her period. So it says, say Chazal, maybe right before the flow, right before the flow, she had been with her husband. So really, let's say from that first moment, she has to wait another 72 hours before she starts counting 7 days. So let's work it out. So 72 hours, if you have it on Sunday, so let's say to Monday, to Tuesday, to Wednesday. So through Wednesday afternoon is out. You can't count those as Shiva Nikiyim. Because the Shiva Nikiyim, the 7 clean days, have to be, again, clean of not only blood, but clean of any discharge, whether it's her blood or whether it's seminal discharge from her husband. So you have to wait 72 hours from the moment that she gets her period. So 72 hours really works out to be 4 days, not 3 days. Because let's say Sunday afternoon, so count 72 hours, it goes through Wednesday afternoon, so Wednesday is day 4 already. Because Sunday is 1, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So that's why 4 days have to be counted. We'll get to the 5th day in a minute. But why does a woman have to wait 5 days? And again, I'm saying most of the time this is irrelevant, because most women bleed for 5 days or more, or 6 days. But why does a woman, let's say she stains, let's say she's on some type of birth control pill, and she only stains for a day or two, or let's say during Shiva Nikiyim, but we'll get to. So she has to wait a minimum of 72 hours, which worked out to be 4 days, before she can start counting. So if a woman, let's say, Monday afternoon gets her period, Monday is day 1, Tuesday is day 2, Wednesday is day 3, Thursday is day 4, Thursday night, at this point, she could do a Hefsiktara, the end of the 4th day. Or let's say she gets her period Tuesday night. So what's Tuesday night? Tuesday night is Wednesday. So Wednesday is day 1, Thursday is day 2, Friday is day 3, Shabbos is day 4, Shabbos before sunset, she does a Hefsiktara. tahara. She does an eternal exam to make sure the blood stops. That is why one has to wait 4 days. The fifth day was added on. It's late. I'm not going to go into the details right now. The fifth day was added on for a separate chash. Maybe I'll start with this next time, but the heads will be clearer. But the fifth day was added on as another step. That's what's important to know. And that is why in certain specific cases, the fifth day we will be mako on if a woman has an issue where, which we'll get to, where the fifth day is a crucial day. And we'll say 4 days, and then you can already start shivin akiyam, again, as long as the blood has stopped. Most of the time, you're not going to get any coolas on the fifth day if a woman's bleeding for more than 5 days. Because you're not allowed to, for sure, can't start the shivin akiyam, you can't do a hetzakara before all the bleeding has stopped. But let's say a woman has a very short cycle. Let's say she bleeds for 2 days, and that's it. But still, the halacha is, you have to wait 5 days. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. And that is the way that that is what the Ramah says. Okay, I guess I'm not going to be able to fulfill my promise, so I don't want to go further now. We'll start Be'ez Hashem with this next week, the 5 days and the 7 days. So 8:15, is that doable? Should we 8 o'clock? Should we start 8 o'clock? You don't know if you can do 8 o'clock. Okay, well, keep the email. We'll email something. We'll figure it out. But again, most women, most